Good evening. Thank you, Ryan, for those songs. Thank you for leading the prayer song, a prayer that God would be with us this evening. I know that that's all of our heart's desires. It's been as Ryan mentioned, it has been a drama-filled last week and a half. Emotional, emotion-packed. And this weekend will be no different. It's an exciting time as God continues to build his church. It's the work of the Lord. And yet it's a serious time. We want God's will to be done tonight. And throughout this weekend. Title of the message is taken out of the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. If you'll remember, it was the early church, and the disciples were all still in Jerusalem, and the church was growing, and the Grecian Christians were feeling like they were being overlooked, and they made their concern known. And so they brought it to the apostles, and the apostles determined what they should do. And they determined that they would ordain more. And the answer to their problem we find in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. And it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Maybe, AV, you could turn off these front lights, please. Thank you. "Look ye out among you." That's something that we as Anabaptists traditionally do. Many other churches would feel the need for a minister, and they might email the governing body, send a letter to the governing body, and they might interview strangers, men whose Christian lives they don't even know anything about. They just know that they've been to seminary and they have this little resume. But the biblical example set forth in the book of Acts is to look ye out among you. And that's what we've been thinking about the last 6 months. We've had some special messages geared towards helping each one of you look out among you. And I know that many of you have been looking. And I know that some of you say, "I don't have a name." I want you tonight to be open to the Holy Spirit. I think the scriptures would give indication that there are those times when you might be called before somebody to witness and testify, and you just don't know what to say. And in fact, Jesus said, "Don't even worry about what you're going to say. In that very hour, it will be given you." And I've heard many testimonies of people who didn't have a name, but shortly before going into the room to give the name, a name was emblazoned. I encourage you tonight to be open to the Holy Spirit. Look out among you. Look out among you and listen for the voice of God. Well, what are we supposed to look for? And I believe John, I think it was, had a message a month or so ago on qualifications. We're not going to go through those again, but I would like to look at what the early church said to look for. It's in this verse. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I'd like to spend the rest of our time looking at those three, call them qualifications, call them characteristics. In my notes, I have them called characteristics. Seven men of honest report. At first glance, that word honest, that just, I don't think we have a problem with that. I think the men among us are honest. I'd trust all of you. But you know, as I looked and studied, the word that is used here that's translated in the English as honest is not what we first would look at. Before we go into these three, I would like to look at the seven men that they chose. And we find that in verses, I'm going to back up to those. I want to read this. Let's read this together. The seven men they chose. Are you ready? Let's read it together. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And that's what we're going to do tonight. That's not what we're going to do tonight. We're going to give names tonight, but Sunday evening, we'll be laying hands on the man that God has revealed as his choice. One thing interesting has nothing to do with the message. It has something to do with dealing with church problems, and that is it was the Grecian widows who were feeling neglected. All of these seven men were Grecian men. I just think that's interesting. Let's keep reading. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. It mentions in verse 8 that Stephen was full of faith and power. And I don't know if you noticed it in the beginning, in the names, in the saying, please, the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. There it is again, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. All seven of them were supposed to be that, but I don't know. Somehow Stephen must have stood out a little bit more than the others. It's mentioned twice in verse 5 and again in verse 7. I want to back up. Let's talk about this thing of honesty. First thing we want to look for as we look out among us is a man of honest report. The word honest is actually in the New Testament only seven times. Five of those times, it's the Greek word kalos. It means beautiful, morally good, virtuous. One time, it's semnos, and that's venerable, that's honorable. That's probably closest to the word honest as we understand it today. But when I look this up, it's one of those jewels that you happen to stumble on. This man of honest report comes from the Greek word martyrio, which we get our English word martyr from. And it means to be a witness. It means to be evangelizing. It means to be testifying. It means that this man is not afraid to testify of the Lord. A little bit different than the first glance of looking for a man of honest report. Look ye out among you for a man that's not afraid to testify of Jesus Christ. One thing we want to look for. It's interesting to note that of the seven men that were chosen, Stephen was the first New Testament church martyr that we know of. One of these seven men, and he was the first martyr. And look for men who are willing to be that. Another interesting note is this man, Philip. We read about him a little bit later in Acts 21, one of Paul's missionary journeys. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So these men who were ordained to take care of tables, they got out there and they preached. And that was one of the things that the church was to look for. Men who were willing to testify. Men who were willing to preach. To teach of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first characteristic. Men of honest report. To be a witness, to testify. The second characteristic that's mentioned is men full of the Holy Ghost. Well, how can we tell that? We're not a group of people that believe that we can display that with speaking in tongues or falling down in the aisles or having some outward. And I don't think the Bible would tell us that. How do we know? When you look out among you tonight, and even now as you're looking out among you, I know you are, how can you know that a man is filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I don't know of any better place to turn than the Bible and to quickly look at the fruits of a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost. We find those in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And we're going to quickly go through these fruit. And remember, look ye out among you. A man that shows. And I want to quickly say, and I have this in my notes to say at the end, but I want to quickly say it now. And that is that the last I looked, ministers are flesh and blood. They're humans. They struggle with temptations. They struggle with the same passions that each one of you struggle with. They're no different. If we were to look for a perfect man, a man that's just out there witnessing all the time, a man that is full of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to bear every single fruit that we talk about, then we'll all go into that room and say, I don't have a name, because there's no one perfect yet among us. These are things you look for. These are things we strive for. Those of you that God may call, and I know there's several of you, many of you, that are a little fearful of this weekend. And as we go through these, you might feel, I am so unqualified. Well, I think there's five men that meet in that room, you know, on a regular basis, and all five of us would say we're unqualified too as we look at these things. It's only by God's grace that we can minister and His mercy, and He fills us with the Holy Spirit. So don't feel like, well, I'm not qualified, as Collier goes through these things. And don't look for the perfect man when you're looking out among you. Let's look at these fruit. Let's quickly look at the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is, can we read it together? I'd like to keep you right with me. Are you ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We're just gonna bounce on them, okay, for sake of time. But look out among you as we hit on these things. Love, that's, you know that. That's the word agape. It's a love that was demonstrated by Jesus Christ. self-sacrificing. Lay down my life for. You're looking for a man that loves this way, cares for others more than for self. The agape love, it's a fruit of a person that's full of the Holy Ghost. The next one, joy, cheerfulness. That doesn't mean they're laughing all the time, but there's a calm delight. Even in this past week that we've gone through, there's a stable peace in the middle of the grief. It's a joy underneath that surface that keeps us going. It's a gladness. Joy. Look out among you, someone who can carry that joyfulness even in the tough times. Peace. Harmonious relationships with others. Tranquility, calmness again, unity. Look out among you for a man that's given to peace, harmonious relationships with others. Tranquility, calmness. Patience. Long-tempered, long-suffering, forbearing, self-restraint in the face of provocation, and enduring. Someone provokes and you watch that person and you think, he is going to lose it, but he doesn't. Showing self-restraint in the face of provocation, enduring. Look you out among you for a man of patience, long-suffering, forbearing, kindness, gentleness, mildness towards others, softness of manners, warm-hearted, considerate. Children aren't afraid of this person. Children weren't afraid of Jesus. Look you out among you. A man that is given to kindness, gentleness, softness of manners, mildness towards others, warm-hearted and considerate. Goodness, moral quality, virtue, purity, doing what is right, moral excellence, virtuous. Look out among you for a man that is virtuous. Faithfulness, moral conviction. This man trusts in God. This man believes in God. You don't see him doubting, wavering. He trusts in God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness, gentleness, there that runs alongside some we've already read. There's a meekness there. There's a humility. Meek in mind and heart. He's going to be non-resistant. Self-restraint again in times of provocation. He's gentle. Gentle and kind. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Look ye out among you for a man that is gentle, meek, humble, full of the Holy Ghost. Self-control, again, exercising self-constraint. Temperance, moderation in natural appetites, and avoiding excess. He's temperate in all things. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is how we can tell if a man is full of the Holy Ghost. This is the biblical way to tell if a man is full of the Holy Ghost. So tonight we want to look out among us, men that are martyrios, they're witnessers. They're testifiers. They're not ashamed. And we want to look for men that are full of the Holy Ghost. And the third one that they were looking for was men full of wisdom. And you look up that Greek word wisdom, and it's Sophia, and it means wisdom. No surprise there. But what is wisdom? Again, what does wisdom look like? Easton's dictionary says this: it is a moral rather than an intellectual quality. I like that. It's not knowledge. It's not a big brainiac. Wisdom is a moral rather than an intellectual quality. And I think James bears that out in James chapter 3, verse 17. Let's read that one together. Are you ready? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's a wisdom of the world. We didn't talk about that. But he begins in verse 17, but the wisdom that's from above. And look at those moral qualities: pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. As we break down those three characteristics, again, I just want to underscore, you're not going to find a man that is all of these things all of the time. Jesus was. And that's who we follow, and that's who we want to attain to. But like Paul said, I haven't attained, and I'm not perfect, but I press on. As you look out among you, don't look for someone who's perfect, but look for someone you know their heart is pressing towards these things. We're looking for, again, I'm just going to review all three. We're looking for men of honest report, men who are out there witnessing, giving a true witness, not ashamed. We're looking for men that are full of the Holy Ghost. And we're looking for men full of wisdom. We have men like that here. I'm not ashamed to say it. All of us ministers, the ministerial team, will tell you we have qualified men. You seek God. You look out among you. I want to paraphrase Acts 6, verse 3, if you'll allow me to. Wherefore, brothers and sisters of Sandy Ridge, tonight, look ye out among you one man of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint to serve this congregation. Let's pray. Father God, it is with confidence that we come to you. You, from the day that Jesus said it, I will build my church. And you have continued to do that throughout the centuries. And Lord, we might just say we're just one little country church called Sandy Ridge in the middle of little, tiny northern Indiana. But Lord, I know you have a heart. You care so much that you know the number of hairs on every head that's in this building tonight. You're huge. You're a great God. Tonight, Lord, we ask you to build your church. I pray for my brothers and sisters that are sitting in front of me. And I pray, Father, that your peace, which passes all understanding, would fill their hearts and souls through Christ Jesus. Build your church, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.